You're listening to Metroscope, a series of interviews with people of interest to Northwest Oregon and Southwest Washington. My name's Gary Bloxham. Caring Ambassadors is a local organization helping to raise awareness about hepatitis C. And Lauren Sant is the Executive Director of Caring Ambassadors. Lauren Sant, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So Caring Ambassadors, can you tell us what Caring Ambassadors is?
Sure. Caring Ambassadors is a national nonprofit organization. We are established in Oregon City. We were established in 1997 with a gentleman that was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And then in 1999, we moved on to hepatitis C. And now we work with people with all chronic conditions facing life-challenging conditions.
Okay. And mostly what you would like to talk about today is hepatitis C. Is that correct?
Yeah. Today we are here to talk about hepatitis C. Hepatitis C is the most common chronic bloodborne virus in America. More than 5 million Americans have hepatitis C, and yet about 75% of Americans are undiagnosed.
75% of people don't realize they have hepatitis C?
That's exactly right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It was in the blood supply up until 1992 because the virus was discovered in 1989. So prior to that, about 300,000 Americans were getting this through the blood supply and through blood transfusions. It may have been simple as giving birth and getting Rh factor or getting some type of transfusion. It really is. Anyone who's been exposed to blood prior to 1992 needs to be tested for hepatitis C.
Didn't realize it was such a newly discovered condition.
Well, that's the amazing thing. It's newly discovered, and yet we already have a cure for it. We can't say that about any other virus in America. So we really are at a time of opportunity, and that's why we are here today to really ask people to ask themselves, are you viral? Should you be tested? Should you can you get cured? And the answer is, if you are viral and you do get tested, there are answers for you today. And most likely, that's going to result in a cure of your virus. Hepatitis C can cause liver cancer, liver cirrhosis, end-stage liver disease. But mostly, it can make you just feel bad for a lot of years. Chronic aches and pains, fatigue, a lot of things you and I feel at the end of the day.
Yeah, maybe not so uncommon.
Exactly, you know, as we get older. And that's why the CDC has put out new recommendations that every baby boomer, so that's every person born between 1945 and 1965, get a one-time test for hepatitis C. Because if you and I have a day where we feel like we have the flu, we don't run to our doctor and talk to them about it. And even if we did, he'd probably just tell us we're getting old. Yeah. So it's really important that we go and we ask our doctors for that one-time test.
And you probably, if you had a day like that where you didn't feel so great, you wouldn't assume it was hepatitis C.
Exactly.
Because that seems like something that's just not.
Exactly. And that's actually the people that have that are the minority of people with hepatitis C. The majority of people with hepatitis C have no symptoms for at least 3 decades. So you can have this virus from 1960 till 1990 and never feel a thing. And then you start getting really fatigued. And those are symptoms that your liver is starting to be destroyed. So it's really important. The earlier you diagnose it, the less liver disease you have, the less chance of going to liver cancer, and the easier it is to cure.
How does one get tested?
Oh, it's a simple blood test. You can go to your doctor and ask for it. It's the first test is an antibody test. It just tells us if you've been exposed to the virus. If that comes back positive, then there's a follow-up test, and it's called a viral load or a PCR. There's a couple different names for it, but basically it just tests to see if you have active virus in your blood, because some people do have strong enough immune systems that they're able to, when they're exposed to the virus, they're actually able to fight off the virus, but that's only about 25% of people. Okay. So you really do need to get that second test. Just getting that first antibody test is not enough. You have to have both tests.
Is that the test a blood draw, basically?
Yeah, they're both blood draws. So the first one, when you go to your doctor, he's going to just run a simple HEP panel on you. It'll probably cost your insurance company somewhere around $20 for him to run that test. And if that comes back positive, then he'll do another blood draw on you to see what actual virus you have, and then also what strain of the virus you have, because there's 6 different main strains of the virus in the United States, and every one of them has a slightly different course of treatment.
Aha. Uh-huh. So how does one contract hepatitis C?
So as I said, hepatitis C was in the blood supply. It's blood-to-blood contact. So you do need to be exposed with your blood from someone else's infected blood. So blood transfusions, any shared drug paraphernalia, whether you're talking about intravenous drug use or whether you're talking about cocaine straws, those rolled up dollar bills that everyone used in the 80s, a lot of those had microscopic pieces of blood in it. Think about it. Tattoo parlors, prior to them being regulated and prior to us understanding that hepatitis C could live outside the body and be infectious for up to 12 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So prior to that understanding, hepatitis C could live in the ink and in the ink pots. And so even if you got a new tattoo and they use new needles, if they didn't give you the new ink and the new ink pots, it could have been transmitted that way. So we don't worry so much about tattoos today in Oregon that are done in safe parlors. What we do worry about is street tattoos today. We worry about injection drug use today. Unfortunately, we have an uptick in hepatitis C transmission right now. And that's we have an outbreak of 30 states in 17 to 25-year-olds because they are getting hepatitis C because they're not learning about infectious disease in school. We really need to start teaching this.
Is there a reason behind why it's on an uptick?
So unfortunately, as there's been a lot of discussion about the increase in heroin use in our country, and there's an increase in prescription drug use in our country, as children leave home, they often can't access those prescription drugs, and they're very expensive on the street, and heroin's really cheap. So unfortunately, they're switching to heroin, and they don't really understand how to keep themselves safe, because it's not just using a clean needle. It's using a clean placemat. It's using a clean cooker. It's using a clean cotton. It's using clean water. It's not sharing anything. But we don't teach this to our youth because we just have this belief that they're not going to go out and do drugs. Mm-hmm. But the reality is every generation, every human group of people on earth has done some type of drugs. So we need to realize this and educate them so that they're doing less harm to themselves and less harm to the society as well.
Absolutely. I think everybody's heard news reports lately about the uptick in heroin use across many demographics, which is super unfortunate.
It really is unfortunate. And so while the incidence of hepatitis C was going down for a long time once we got it out of the blood supply, that no longer is the case. But the other side of that is the reason why baby boomers want to get tested now is because they have had this for decades, and hepatitis C does start to show severe liver damage for a lot of people after 30, 40 years. So you can think you're doing just fine, but your liver's not telling you what's really wrong. And when it starts telling you, it's too late. And so we really need to get these people into care now to find out how much damage they have from hepatitis C, because you don't always know.
I assume there's a lot of stigma that goes along with a hepatitis C. You don't want to admit that maybe you have it, so you don't go see your doctor about it? Is that maybe a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement. And unfortunately, there's stigma on both the provider side and on the patient side and in the media. And so we really need to just eliminate that, because no one is immune to hepatitis C. You are not immune to it. I'm not immune to it. There's no one immune to this virus. And it doesn't just affect one population. It affects soccer moms. It affects prisoners. It affects homeless. It affects our military. It affects firefighters, our doctors, our nurses. It is an every walk of life. And so we encourage everyone to come out and talk about it, because the only way we're going to reduce the stigma of this virus is for people to talk about it and to make everyone else aware that this is them. If you think about 1 in 50 Americans has hepatitis C, you know someone with hepatitis C.
Yeah, that brings it right to your neighborhood.
1 in 33 people that are born between 45 and 65. So 1 in 33 people your age and my age have this disease.
Yeah.
We probably know a couple people with it.
Probably.
And so I have 3 family members with it. I actually only have 2 now. One's cured.
Oh, great.
But none of them were diagnosed properly, in the proper way. None of them went to their doctor and their doctor did a physical and said, we found this. All of them, it was various ways. My brother's doctor notated for 10 years that his liver enzymes were elevated, which is an indication you have something wrong with your liver. Never tested him. My cousin went to the doctor for 2 years complaining of every symptom of hepatitis. The doctor never tested her, told her she had too much lead in her blood. Katrina hit, she went and gave blood, got a letter from the Red Cross. You have hepatitis C. My cousin, my sister-in-law, she was diagnosed in the early 90s with non-A, or late 80s, excuse me, with non-A, non-B, don't worry about it. Because that's what they used to say to people. So if you've ever been diagnosed with non-A, non-B hepatitis, you probably do have hepatitis C, and you need to get back into your doctor and talk to them about it.
Sounds like the medical world needs to be educated on this as well.
Well, absolutely. And therapies, to their defense, therapies in the past were very difficult to take. They were toxic. They were a year long, very similar to a chemotherapy. So patients going to feel like they have a flu for a year. Very hard to get someone through that therapy, very low success rates of the therapy. And it was a cure if it was successful, but it was very difficult to get those people through care. Today, with the new therapies, we're talking 12 weeks of therapy and 90 to 100% cure rate. Much less toxic, much fewer side effects. And so doctors are going to be more excited about testing people, about educating people about hepatitis C as well.
It's much simpler.
Much simpler. They won't have to refer their patients out someday, we hope, you know, that we can reserve the specialist for those that are the sickest. Because the bottom line is hepatitis C does cause liver disease. And once you have cirrhosis, even if you cure yourself of hepatitis C, which you want to do, because that will accelerate your disease, you also need to take care of your liver. There's a lot of things that people can do for themselves. Like the number one thing people can do for themselves if they have hepatitis C is to not drink alcohol. Alcohol and hepatitis C are synergistic in the inflammation of the liver, and hepatitis just means inflammation of the liver. Since they both cause inflammation of the liver, right, you're just putting two on two, and it's really causing a fire in your liver, and it's 9 times faster to cirrhosis if you drink and you have hepatitis C. So even if you don't want to do therapy, what you'd need to do is not drink. And
get tested and find out.
And get tested, yeah. And it's not like we're asking you to get tested and then run to the doctor and get therapy. There may be a lot of steps that you need to do. What we've found is that a lot of people need to take the time to what we call set the table for therapy so that they're the healthiest and ready for that therapy. These are expensive therapies. You want to make sure they work. You have to be adherent so you don't cause drug resistance. And so you want to make sure the person is emotionally ready, has a support system behind them, has insurance ready to pay for the whole therapy of course of drugs, and that everything is set so it's going to go as seamlessly as possible.
What is the therapy?
So today there are several options. There is a drug called Elicio, and there's a drug called Sovaldi. Both of them in genotype 1 are mixed with interferon for either 12 weeks or 24 weeks, depending on which drug you choose and the stage of your disease. You can use them off-label from the FDA together if you can get your insurance company to pay for that. There was a small trial that looked at those without interferon, just those two drugs together. It looked quite interesting, but again, it was a very small clinical trial. But the most common that's being prescribed today, right now, is this Sovaldi or Sofosbuvir. It's the common name for it, plus interferon for genotype 1. That's 12 weeks of therapy. For genotype 2, that is just 12 weeks of therapy with no interferon, just with ribavirin, so much less side effects and very effective. Again, we're talking 90, 100% cure rates here. And for genotype 3, which these are the most common genotypes in the United States, the 1, 2, and 3, 1 being the most common. But for genotype 3, it's actually 24 weeks of therapy still with the Sovaldi plus ribavirin, but no interferon. So again, these are our first ever interferon-free therapies that we've had, so much less toxic. But there's at least 5 other drugs in the pipeline right now. Several of them have already been submitted to the FDA. So we expect to see a lot of drugs on the market between now and the end of the year that are going to open up the floodgates and give patients a lot of choices about different therapies, depending on whether you have cirrhosis, if you've had a liver transplant. This will be the first time ever patients with liver transplants will have an opportunity to consider therapy for their hepatitis C.
That's fantastic.
It is amazing. It really is amazing.
And it sounds like those new therapies that are coming out are just going to help to raise awareness about hepatitis C.
They are. You know, it's interesting. They're really going to raise awareness. Unfortunately, right now, the reason they're raising awareness is because of the cost of the drug. So I would like to address that for a second.
Absolutely.
I was the co-chair of the Fair Pricing Coalition. I argued with these companies quite vociferously about the cost of the drugs. And while we did not we don't feel we were successful in reducing the cost of the drugs. We were very successful in getting the companies to offer outstanding patients assistance programs. So if you've been turned down by your insurance companies for these drugs, or if you're considered underinsured, you can, and you make less than $150,000 a year, you can get help from the pharmaceutical company to pay for these drugs. So don't let all the cost about the cost of the drugs scare you from getting the cure you want today. Because in reality, they're actually maybe even a little cheaper than the drugs we had on the market in the past because of the lack of side effects, the shorter therapy, the less lost work. There's so many factors into it. We believe that, well, we won't tell Gilead this, but we do believe they're a little cheaper. but certainly nothing for a patient to worry about, because we don't tell cancer patients to wait until their disease gets worse, because chemotherapy is tough and it's expensive. We don't do that.
Yeah, you get them in right away.
We treat them right away. Hepatitis C is a cancer-causing agent. And yet we're telling people that we're not going to treat them until they have advanced liver disease. This is disease discrimination being done by insurance companies and our Medicare programs against people living with hepatitis C. Liver cancer is the fastest growing cancer in the United States, directly due to undiagnosed hepatitis C. And B.
Wow.
So we have an option. We have an answer. And as I often say to people when I'm testifying in front of a Senate or a Congress or in the Georgia legislature this fall, I ask them, if you had an infectious disease that you could give to your friends and your family, that your kid could walk into the bathroom and pick up your toothbrush and get your hepatitis C from you, that is going to decrease your quality of life, that may give you cancer, may kill you, but has a cure, would you want to know?
Hopefully they say yes.
We hope so. But unfortunately, there's very little funding for this disease in the United States. The Division of Viral Hepatitis at the Center for Disease Control, which is responsible for all hepatitises, so that's A, B, D, C, E, all of those, they have $30 million total for more than 7 million people living with these viruses in the United States. Now, I don't want to take away from HIV. I want to use an example so that you can understand what happens when we invest in a public health care system like we did with HIV. HIV, we invested strongly, and now HIV is a chronic disease that people can live with. We've shown how we can do this. In that same center at the CDC, to cover a million people with HIV, they have $792 million. So the investment has not been made on hepatitis. Again, we don't want to take away from HIV. It's very important that that investment stay there. Mm-hmm. Those people need this care. However, it is time that the United States recognize the most common chronic bloodborne virus in America, and currently the largest outbreak of infectious disease in the United States.
Wow. You're laying some heavy statistics on us today.
You know, it sounds scary, but the reality is we have answers. It doesn't have to be like this.
Right.
And you know, when I try to educate Congress on that, it's we have to act now. Unfortunately, the window is closing, though, because this baby boomer generation is aging into other disease comorbidities. They're aging out of eligibility for therapy. They're getting more cirrhosis. We won't be able to help when it gets to a certain point. So if we don't change in the next 5-7 years, the way we're testing and treating people with hepatitis C, we can't change the outcome of this epidemic for the baby boomers. We can still change it, though, for those 17 to 25-year-olds.
So you can cure hepatitis C, but you can't necessarily fix the damage that hepatitis C causes.
Well, actually, you can if you catch it early enough.
Okay.
If you get to cirrhosis, it's more difficult to reverse cirrhosis. We used to think you couldn't reverse it all. Some cirrhosis is reversible. But if you catch it before that, your liver regenerates. It's the only organ in your body besides your skin that regenerates. And so you could have a baby fresh liver if you get rid of the virus. So really, this is an opportunity for you to heal yourself and to be an ambassador for your own health, to get tested and understand what that means if you are tested, not to ignore it, not to say I feel fine, but to actually get into care, get a biopsy, find out what is happening with your liver. I guarantee you, my brother never, ever thought that his liver was halfway destroyed. He ran marathons. He worked 18 hours a day. He ran a company. He coached his kids. He was tireless. He never thought his liver was halfway gone. So the beauty is now he's been cured for 8 years. It's probably reversed. He's not going to get another biopsy to find out, but it probably has.
Well, that is fantastic news and a great story to tell.
Yeah.
Because it's so important for people to be aware of,
it is.
Of their health.
It is.
And the first step probably is just call your doctor and get a test.
Get a test. So don't assume your doctor's tested you. If you
it's
say
not part
to
of
your,
a routine physical, then?
It's not. If you say to your doctor, test me for everything, he's probably not going to put hepatitis on that test list. So you need to specifically ask for a hepatitis test. So make sure you ask, and then it shouldn't be a problem. And if your doctor does question you, you just say you want one.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Insurance will pay for it. The United States Preventative Services Task Force, who is part of the Affordable Care Act, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, they help write the guidelines of what services should be offered without cost sharing. Luckily, hepatitis C for anyone at risk or anyone born in the baby boomer population can get a test under that provision with no cost sharing because of the United States Preventative Services Task Force and the Affordable Care Act and Patient Protection Act. Some people like to call it Obamacare. We like to call it the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which is exactly what it is a patient protection. It's really important for people with hepatitis C because they had, if they were diagnosed and had a pre-existing condition, they couldn't get insurance. If they had hepatitis C and they were heading towards a transplant, they couldn't change their jobs. So this is a big win for people with hepatitis C because this is our healthcare system that they're going to be treated in. So, without that cost sharing, there's really no reason not to go get this test.
Excellent. If our listeners want more information, can you point us in a direction to get?
Absolutely. Our website is hepcchallenge.org. That's hepcchallenge.org. Our phone number is 503-632-9032. And we are happy to answer your questions. Come to our website. We have a book on there that's written by doctors from all different medical disciplines that's free for patients to download. If you just want to know why you need to quit drinking alcohol, you can download that chapter. If you want to check out Chinese medicine, you can download that chapter. If you want to watch some videos, you can do that. We have all the information on there. Our whole new Are You Viral campaign is on there. There's testing site locations listed. There's doctor's offices listed under locations, under a map, linkage to cure map. So, really trying to get people linked up with people that can help them and get them into care because no one can do anything about this if you don't know you have it. But once you know you have it, you really can make some great choices that really can change the quality of your life forever. And we just want to encourage people to do that because you can save people's lives by getting tested and asking your friends to get tested. If people are listening to this and they don't think they're at risk, but their parents are of the baby boomer generation, ask your parents to get tested because it really is important. If we identify It's about 78 million people that live in that baby boomer population. They have 75% of the hepatitis C in this country. If we could get them tested and we could get them cured, we could save 110,000 lives. We can save 80,000 cases of liver cancer. I mean, we really can change a big difference. So we just need to get everybody tested.
Fantastic. Give us the website for more information one more time.
It is hepcchallenge.org. So that's HEPCCHALLENGE. PepsiCo.org. And if you're like me and a baby boomer, you'll remember the Pepsi Challenge, so you can remember Pepsi Challenge.
Oh, that's good. That's a great way to remember it. Well, Lauren Santh, Executive Director with Caring Ambassadors, thank you so much for being on Metroscope today.
Thank you.
Metroscope is an Intercom Communications public affairs program. My name's Gary, and if you have a nonprofit or public affairs organization that you'd like to let others know about, you can email me at metroscope@intercom.com. Remember, Intercom starts with an E. Or you can go directly to this station's website, click on the community link, and submit your information there. Also, if you'd like to hear this program again, you can visit our podcast page at metroscopepdx.com. Thanks for listening to Metroscope, and enjoy your weekend.